Chapter 29, A Night on the River. A variety of men went to Pearl's parlor. There were those who went for sexual satisfaction, but there were other reasons as well. Some of the older gentlemen were just lonely and simply wanted to spend time with delightful young ladies who were both educated and friendly. Tex, a distinguished older gentleman who was a regular at Pearl's, liked being around pretty women and having a cold beer. The girls loved him and his tall tales. Tex was especially fond of Maggie, who held a special place in his heart, probably because she reminded him of his wife, who had passed away 15 years earlier. They had never had children, and Tex had never married again. Fascinated with cowboys and Indians, Rosie had heard stories of the Old West, and now she was actually there. The afternoon before the Santa Rita party, Tex dropped by the parlor. "Rosie, I have someone I want you to meet. This is our Tex. He is the man who told me about the Rose of Dove Creek and the Kickapoo Massacre, and can tell you all about San Angelo."
"Let's go downstairs, little lady, and I'll buy you a beer."
"Charmed, I'm sure."
Tex and Rosie went to the speakeasy downstairs.
At one time, San Angelo was known as the town across the river. Fort Concho was built across from the town right after the Civil War, when a lot of folks were traveling west to start a new life.
"Interesting."
Rosie was fascinated with Tex.
"There's a lot of big ranches around, and San Angelo has its share of visiting cowboys because of the Great Western Cattle Trail. Back in the day, over 7 million head of livestock came through this area. Where there are soldiers and cowboys, there's always a call for saloons, gambling, and friendly ladies. That's really how San Angelo got started."
"We had a little gambling going on in a room behind our bar in Jersey."
"Back in the 1870s, there was a lady named Maud Lottie Deno. The locals named her Mystic Maud, a professional gambler who gave the men a real run for their money. I actually met her a couple of times when I was around her. Men found her brown, sparkling eyes and long hair enchanting. It was obvious she was brought up in high cotton."
"What's that?"
"High cotton? People with money. What impressed me was how calm she was, no matter what was going on. A real pro she was. They say her father taught her all he knew about playing cards before he died in the Civil War. She made a good living and supported her siblings with her winnings."
"Sounds like my Grams. She sent many a man away from a card table without his money."
"One night in the gambling hall, Maud was working a $50 limit game in the corner. In another part of the room was a high-stakes cutthroat game where an Arizona card sharp was playing a Texan who had just bet his last dollar. There was more than $1,000 on that table. 'You mark the cards,' the Texan yelled. 'You ain't gonna bluff me,' the Arizona man screamed. They went for their guns, and when the smoke cleared, both men were lying dead on the floor. Everyone cleared the room. When the sheriff got there, he found Maud sitting quietly in the corner. 'Why didn't you run?' he asked. 'I felt safe in the corner,' she answered. 'Get out quick.' 'Certainly, sir.' Funny thing, the money on the table was gone."
"So she took the money and ran?"
"I reckon she did."
"A woman after my own heart."
"Let's have another beer."
The women in the parlor were busy making themselves beautiful for the Santa Rita celebration. Pearl had hired 2 gourmet chefs and some extra help for Mozella. A 3-piece combo was setting up to play in the great room, and an 8-piece jazz band was hired to play in the speakeasy downstairs. Late that afternoon, Madeline's sister Elizabeth took Heather aside and spoke to her alone on the front porch.
"My dear, sometimes I have the ability to know the future. I am not sure why, but I need to let you know I have an uneasy feeling that concerns your well-being. Please be careful, and whatever you do, do not go anywhere alone."
Heather stared, startled and confused.
Do not go anywhere alone for a while. I am never wrong about these things.
The party was a huge success. Maggie glided through the room, and with a warm, heavy whisper, she assured every man whom she knew intimately that he was the best lover she ever had. Looking mysterious and aloof, Annabelle was dressed in an elaborate black beaded dress, and Sarah wore an exquisite gown that hung low on her back, revealing her shapely female curves. Lucy was playful, Betsy was flirty, and Redbird was sexy, wearing a tight-fitting bright red dress, accentuating her womanly curves. Harmony radiated elegance in a long, flowing white evening gown, and Heather paraded around the room, tickling the men with a large purple plume that matched her own long, dark purple fitted satin gown. Heather sang Gershwin, and Ginger, a woman who could smell money when it walked into the room, was a smash hit with her sexy signature song, Deep Pockets. There was an abundance of money there that night, and the men were generous with the girls. Frank Pickerel talked about the oil business with a group of men in the smoking room. Elizabeth and Maddie charmed everyone with their English accents, and Rosie was the life of the party, dancing to every song the orchestra played. She even got up and sang several Fanny Bryce songs, including Secondhand Rose. All in all, the evening was a huge success. The men were especially impressed to hear that Pearl had been a significant partner in the Santa Rita No. 1. As Frank passed out cigars, Pearl addressed the group. I must say I am quite impressed with Frank Pickerel's tenacity. I look forward to investing in future projects with Texon as well. After all, who do you know who would climb to the top of an oil derrick and throw rose petals to Christian Awell? He told the women he would, and he did just like he said. That gesture alone tells me Frank Pickerel's a man of his word. That evening, after everyone had left, the ladies gathered for another girl talk session, but this time Elizabeth was the one putting on the show.
Annabelle, my dear, you have an incredibly handsome young man in a uniform with you. He says he loves you very much, and he says he is looking after you and your daughter.
Maddie realized that Annabelle was in shock and pain.
My sister has a gift, Annabelle. Sometimes she sees loved ones who have passed, and she just blurts it out. Please forgive her.
Annabelle stared at Elizabeth unbelievingly. Was this a cruel joke?
Everyone here knows I lost my husband in the war, and I have a daughter.
He says, remember the lake, the rain. He is doing some kind of funny dance. He is telling me he liked to dance because it always made you laugh.
Elizabeth was smiling and looking to the right of Annabelle's shoulder as if she could see someone dancing around. Tears streamed down Annabelle's cheeks. She remembered that rainy Saturday on the lake and later her Billy dancing naked around the room, making her laugh. No one else knew about that afternoon, not even her mother. A chill ran through her body like a Texas north wind.
What else does he say?
He says he loves you, and he is sorry he had to leave you. He says that he is proud of you. He says when you see orange butterflies, to think of him.
Annabelle managed to smile through her tears.
I already do. Every time I see an orange butterfly, I pretend it's Billy saying hello. It just makes me feel better, but I thought it was my imagination.
Just because we cannot see our loved ones who have passed does not mean they're not here. I know this type of dialogue is uncomfortable for many people. For a long time, I kept my ability to see spirits a secret, mainly because people might think I'm crazy. However, Someone once told me that I have a unique gift and that I should share it. It is appropriate that I share it with you fine young ladies. Those who have passed become excited when they know we are aware of their presence. Many times they want to resolve an issue and communicate.
He's proud of me?
Yes, my dear. When they are on the other side, they only know love. They do not get involved in our everyday dramas. They only know love.
I think I understand. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Annabelle breathed deeply and released into the memory of a rainy Saturday afternoon on the lake.
There is a man with a uniform with you as well, Harmony. He is waving to you from a train. He is giving me a D. Dennis? Daniel?
David! It's David!
He is handing you a yellow rose.
The Yellow Rose of Texas was his favorite song!
No wonder you play it all the time.
Elizabeth turned and looked at Ginger.
There was a woman with you, young lady. She says she is sorry. She wants you to forgive her. Does this mean anything to you?
Ginger sighed and quickly lit up a cigarette.
It's probably my mother. Didn't know she died.
Ginger took another deep drag and exhaled slowly, forming rings that floated in the air. No one at the parlor had ever seen her cry, and she certainly wasn't going to let them see any tears now.
She says she loves you, and she is sorry.
Okay, thanks, I guess.
Ginger took another drag, holding back her tears. Everyone was staring at Elizabeth. She seemed to be in some kind of trance, as if she were dreaming with her eyes open. Even her voice had changed its tenor.
Do you see my mother? Is my mother here?
I do not see a woman with you, Sarah. I do, however, see a young man. He says to tell you it didn't hurt. He says he stayed with you quite a while before he went to the light.
Sarah folded her hands over her heart.
It's Michael! Sweet, sweet Michael!
Then Elizabeth turned and looked at Pearl and beamed.
You have two men and a woman with you, my dear. One of the men and the woman have an Irish brogue. They are holding hands. The woman is handing you a red rose. She says she loves you. She keeps saying the word victory, and she is very proud of you.
Those are my parents.
The other man is handing you a pink pearl.
Robert.
He says he is always with you, and he is listening. He likes to talk to you when you go fishing. There is so much love coming to you from this man. He says he is happy you bought the mansion. It was meant to be yours. He says thank you for loving the ranch. He is with you at the springs.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Pearl closed her eyes and imagined her parents and Robert smiling at her. Elizabeth's words made Victoria Pearl's heart feel full. No one said a word. Elizabeth nodded to Heather, who bit her lip, and nodded back. After what she had just witnessed, she decided to heed Elizabeth's message.
Do you see my Joey? Can you see him, Elizabeth? I know you did before when we were in New York.
Not tonight, Rosie.
Okay, then. I still love you, you big galoot!
Let's do a woman's circle. It's a perfect night for it. The moon is full. We used to do this all the time in Glastonbury. It will make your soul sing.
I used to do this with my mother and had forgotten all about it. When we saw wild mushrooms growing in a circle, Mother called it a magic fairy circle, and we sang and danced. The fairies danced behind the magic veil, she would say. Let's dance with them. Together, the Lady Pearls walked quietly to the river. Take off your shoes, ladies. Feel Mother Earth beneath your feet. The grass felt soft and cool as the women held hands and formed a circle. The moon directs the movement of the tides, and the seas dance to her song. Like a good woman, She needs not recognition for her quiet strength. Her 28-day cycle is consistent, and she displays herself differently every night. Most evenings, she reveals part of her light, but tonight, she is showing her full glory. There will be evenings where she will disappear with the promise of her return. These are the nights that the stars shine their brightest. For these reasons, we call her feminine and are thankful for the opportunity to dance among the shadows of her enchanted light.
Alas, my love, you do me wrong to cast me off discourteously, for I have loved you well and long, delighting in your company. But my Lady Greensleeves.
I love that song, Harmony. Do you know who the Greensleeves were?
No, I don't believe I do.
They were women who brought men womanly comfort. Many times they went with them into battle to take care of their needs, such as nursing, cooking, companionship.
Women like us.
Exactly. Some say they got their name because of the grass stains on their sleeves.
I bet I know how that happened.
The women danced as the glowing light of the moon reflected brightly on the Concho River below.
What a spectacular, magical evening. We might not be able to see our angels, but I know they are here.
And everyone agreed.
My delight. Green sleeves was my heart of gold, and who but my Lady Green Sleeves?
Later, when the ladies retired, Victoria sat at the Steinway and filled the house with the sweetness of beautiful piano music. With every note, she thought of her Robert and how he loved to listen to her play. Somehow, she knew he was with her now, and Victoria's heart and soul brimmed with love.